You know, it occurred to me while we was worshiping, it took one 14-year-old boy coming on a battlefield to change the whole direction for the nation of Israel. Just one guy. Nothing really changed on that day. Everybody was still, you know, we kind of look at it as a bunch of scaredy cats, but this was the army of Israel. How many know there was fighting men there? These guys were warriors. They weren't kids. And they were seasoned, there were some seasoned veterans there. Here comes this 14-year-old kid, and you know the story. But he came and went on the offensive. He wasn't on the defensive, he went on the offensive. And I've been talking last couple weeks about going on the offense. And I believe that with all my heart. It's turning slowly, excruciatingly slowly. But the church is starting to wake up and realize that we already have what we need. God's not piecemealing it out. We're not defending anything. God's already defended it and won it. Come on, somebody. You remember when Christ went into the temple, the same temple, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath, and it was in his hometown, and they offered him to read the scripture. Nothing changed. That building was the same. People were the same. But he read one scripture, Isaiah 61. He read it, and it changed the course of history. And how many know they took a scripture says they took him to the brow of the hill, and they were going to cast him, throw him off. And he walked through them like they weren't there. How many know not for one second was he on the defensive? He had it. He was on the offensive the whole time. He passed through the crowd as if, I don't know what you, if you've ever seen a mob try to beat somebody up, but it's pretty tough to get away from that. The power of God is on our side. I think the church is finally waking up to realize that truth. So I want to talk to you tonight about weapons that bring victory for us, because we're going to be on the offensive. We need to realize what that offensive is. You know, we think about David with the one smooth stone that he threw and it hit the forehead. But David didn't exit the battlefield after that. How many know he stayed with the battle? He cut the head off and he held it up. And then Israel chased the enemy all the way to the sea. How many know David was part of that? Those other four stones he had in his bag were used pretty quickly, and he picked up more stones. How many think he became pretty good at that little slingshot he was using? Killed a lot of enemy with that. How much has God equipped you and I with everything we need for victory? And I hear a lot of conversation. I'm not unlike you. I hear a lot of conversation. We almost boast in our spirituality by the attacks that we've endured. Oh, God's really must be moving in my life, people say, because I've been under all these attacks. I've had to go on a defense. How many know that's not God's? It's wonderful that that's happened. God gets the glory anyhow, but that's not A, that's C or D. That's a multiple choice. We say, well, we're not going to really put up a fight. We're going to defend ourselves until the bad guy goes away, and then we'll exist. That's where the church has been. We're existing with the enemy. And how many know the enemy, when he occupies, grows? Come on, somebody. When the enemy occupies, he grows. Jesus said it. He said, you cast a demon out, it goes across dry places and comes back with seven more than them. The enemy doesn't come back and just occupy with whoever won that last battle that we had to defend, and whoever, we didn't cast him out, we didn't come against him, so he brings seven more, and it even grows more in intensity. And I believe the time is now for the church to turn and get the victory. We need to live our lives in the light of eternity. We just read, we're going through the book of Ephesians. You know, if you'll turn there with me to Ephesians, because we've been, how many have been blessed by this teaching in Ephesians? Come on, it's just really a lot of meat in the book of Ephesians. It just really is. And this next Sunday, this coming Sunday, we're going to be talking about chapter 2, verse 10, We are His workmanship. Watch what it says. Created, past tense, in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Let's suck the marrow out of this scripture. Come on. Let's suck the marrow out of this scripture. Look what it says. We are His workmanship, created, past tense, in Christ Jesus for good works. Somebody tell me what those good works are. Come on, give me some examples of good works. What else? Serving. What else? Praying for people. What else?
Taking care of your family.
Taking care of your family. What's all that have to do with it? All that is something we do for others, not for us. We become such a consumer-driven entity. You know, me, me, me. I need to build myself up. I need to have this. I need to have that. I need to be taken care of. How many know Christianity is about what we do for others? We give our lives for others. Good works are exactly all those and more, which God prepared, past tense, beforehand. God has made sure that we get the victory. You just read in Ephesians 1:18, we just went through that a couple weeks ago, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. God has given us vision to see spiritual things. Just like David, when he went out on the battlefield, he saw what nobody else saw. Of all those seasoned veterans of warfare, this kid came out to the battlefield and saw what nobody else saw. And that's what God is waiting for a generation to see what nobody else has saw. That we already have the victory. And we take the land because God has given it to us. He's given us vision to see spiritual things, and He's given us vision in living in the life, in the light of eternity. He's given us vision to see natural things as well, and know it is natural and has no power over eternal things. No matter what's going on in the natural, it has no power over us. The enemy has nothing in us. In Christ, we can see them at the same time. We see the spiritual and the physical. We know who wins. Christ has prepared them beforehand. So we need a proper war footing. If we're to go on this coming new year, everybody's talking about 2020. I can hear all the things now. 2020. 2020 vision. I was talking to John the other day, and John said a wonderful thing. Last night we were visiting together, and John said, "You know, 2020 vision is good vision, but you can even have better vision. Your vision can be way past 2020. There are people that have that kind of vision. I'm not one of them, but there are people that have better than 2020. So we see clearly. See, and I believe that's what God is getting ready to do, has done in the church. We're just walking it. Secondly, living our lives in the light of eternity. Secondly, knowing the power of God and having a comprehension of what Scripture means. When David walked on that battlefield, he figured it out instantaneously. He said, man, something's wrong with this picture. Who is this guy anyway? We find ourselves asking permission. I was so glad when I saw that the powers to be here in the city went ahead and put the manger scene up anyway. They said, you go ahead and sue us, we're putting it up. I said, yes, that's a sign for me. Yes, finally we're saying we're not going to be pushed around anymore. You may try to throw us off the brow of the hill, but we're walking through the crowd. See? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who are these people to tell us we can't put a manger scene up? Come on. The error is brought about by ignorance or rejection. We either ignore the truth of Scriptures or we reject it and say it doesn't work anymore. We must believe what the Scripture teaches. And if we believe it, we act on it. Nobody has ever done anything in the laboratory. The laboratory is where you test it, but you've got to put it into function to make sure it works. And churches have become laboratories where we talk about theories all the time, but we're not walking in it. I want somebody. We've been fooled in and rocked to sleep in, saying, don't get involved with that because that's just evil. I actually heard a Christian say, everybody who goes to Washington ends up corrupt. Well, that doesn't need to be. Christians don't need to become corrupt. They could go be working part of the kingdom where God will use us the best. God's power in our lives requires these two things. Number one is His sovereignty. Realize what the Scripture says is that He's created the good works in us beforehand that we're walking in. You know, I've lived long enough with God to realize that His ways are not my ways. How many know? Don't try to figure God out. He is not subject to the same standard that He gives us. Watch what the Psalm says. Psalm 77, 19 says, your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. And then the psalmist says in 115, 3, but our God is in heaven. He does whatever He pleases. He doesn't need our permission. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. And if we're looking to see when is this thing going to happen, God is not going to change. God's not going to drop the other shoe and say, oh, I've been just fooling you. Now I'm going to be something different than I am. God never changes. So if we have a problem, we're on the defense all the time. God says, well, I've always called you to be on the offense. Just do it. Believe my word. Come on, somebody. You know, I've been very open and honest about this last year. It's a year that I don't want to relive. How many have ever been through a year you don't want to relive? I just don't want to relive this year. Thank you very much. I'm glad there's no reset. I'm glad I'm forgetting the past of this year. It was a tough, I went through a tunnel of a bit. But what I came out knowing is that it's time to be on the offense and stop being on the defense. I bounced out of bed this morning, alone, by the way, alone, telling my wife, get home. I called her this morning. I said, I've changed your ticket. You're flying home today. But I was bouncing down the steps to get a cup of coffee, and I realized I had absolutely no pain in my feet. Now, if you've lived in my body, my feet hurt so bad at one point I could hardly walk across the flat floor. I said, thank you, Lord, because You've been teaching me through these trials and tribulations, He's teaching me that I go on the offense. I tell the devil he's a liar and the father of lies, even when it's manifesting in my body. So I think we've got to take the serious end of a Christian life. This is the life lived for the glory of God. Watch what 2 Timothy 2:11 says. It says, this is a faithful saying for you taking notes, 2 Timothy 2:11. This is a faithful saying, for if we died with Him, we shall also live with Him. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. Now, when we think about that, let me stop and just do a little. When we think about we shall also reign with Him, it's not talking about the sweet by and by. There's only one person reigning in heaven, and that's God. There's only one person that's being worshipped in heaven. We read Revelation and Daniel and some of the prophets when they get vision of heaven. Who's being worshipped? God. We're not going to be worshipped there. We're not reigning with Him in there. We're seated in heavenly places. It's now that we reign. Watch what it says. If we endure, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. He set us on this planet to be victorious. Thank God He rescues us. How many know? His ambulance has got some miles on it. But His intent is that we walk in victory. And our testimony is, it's not, boy, I endured that, but I chased the enemy. I chased the enemy out. He has no authority over me. I saw angels battling with me, and I won that victory. That's the testimonies I want to hear. Come on, somebody. We need to be realistic about who we are and have achievable expectations. Godliness, Scripture says in 1 Timothy 6:6, is with contentment is great gain. We can't gain if we're always being beat up. So realistically achievable expectations and deliberately diligent and determined. When we wake up in the morning, we're waking up to be victorious. I'm not thinking about what I've got to stand against. I'm going to chase the devil. I'm going to chase him out of my life. I'm going to chase him out of my children's life. I'm going to chase him out of my area. He has no authority here. I'm not listening to anything else. I need to have the eyes of faith. 2 Timothy, when Paul is writing Timothy, he says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God. How are we approved to God? A worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's a wonderful thing when we yell help and God comes to our rescue. But I'd much rather say, God, lead me and guide me, and I get victory so that the kingdom is extended. See, it needs to be an exclusive seeking. I told the story about opening up the bed that we bought, trying to put it back in a box. We cannot fit the kingdom of God into this reality. It's not even reality, it's fiction. The things that we see are not as real as the things that we don't see. We seek His kingdom exclusively. The Scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and everything else will be taken care of. It'll be added to you. Come on, somebody. Get excited about what the Word of God says. Listen, time and time again, Christ tells us if we seek Him, He'll take care of everything else. And then sacrificially, our time, our money, our inconvenient times when we seek God. Paul writes Timothy again, just a few verses before 2 Timothy 2:15 and verse 3. He says, you therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. Whether we know it or not, we're in the army of God. This is not a volunteer army. When you became a Christian, you got enlisted in the army of God. Come on, someone. Can I hear an amen? We're in the army of God. It's not saying, well, you know, will you volunteer? No, we're not volunteering. The battles will come, but we've too long been like this. Body of Christ has been like this. I'll just hang on until Jesus comes. Jesus, come rescue me out of this mess, God. Instead of saying, no, the kingdom of God is going to take this land again. We must decide which we prefer, deliverance or dignity. Sometimes you cannot have both. We've got to give up our dignity for warfare. Warfare is not pretty. Confession of sin openly may be required that we make sure that we're clean before Him. Preserving dignity allows spiritual blackmail. The enemy comes and says there's nothing. You want to fight and be victorious, but look at what you're hiding. Be open to God. Say, God, I want to live the rest of my life on the offensive. You know why? Christ lives in us. It's not me, it's Christ. The works are beforehand. We are His workmanship, created in Christ, for good works. Walk it. Here's four things I want you to, if you're taking notes, four things. Four weapons that we have. The first weapon is our sincerity in our claims. Walk it and talk it. It's one thing to talk about it. It's quite another thing to put it to the test. We should be dangerous to the enemy. Our logo needs to be Jesus. How many know that promoting something by a logo is part of our society? When you see a check mark, what do you think of? Nike. Come on, somebody. Just do it. The little check mark. You don't even need to see to just do it. You know that's a Nike brand. Our logo to the enemy needs to be we're Christian and we're something to be dealt with. We're a force to be reckoned with. Instead of saying, hey, we just made it by the skin of our teeth. Man, I'm so angry about what we've allowed to take place in this nation. And the fault lies right at my door. I'm just as guilty as anyone else. We've allowed this thing to be a giant in our land. Who would have ever thought the people in politics have gotten so crazy? They're insane. They're insane. It's not any longer I disagree with what they're saying. They're completely insane. And I realize I pray for them. I feel sorry for them because they're taken over by the enemy. And Christians have allowed it to happen. We've allowed it to happen. We've allowed it to happen. And just when we think we got Christians in the right place, money. We need to teach His way truthfully, loving with no compromise. We've talked about that ad nauseum. I can't help it that you don't like what the Word of God says. Fight with Him. Don't fight with me. Go fight with Him. This is what the Word of God says. It's not open to private interpretation. If this is sin, it's sin. If this is righteousness, it's righteousness. Come on, somebody. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Their ears hear something. By the time it gets out of our mouth, they're hearing hate. It's not hate, it's love. We need to lose the fear of man. We are so scared. We are so afraid. I'm not saying I don't know where you're. But so often Christians that have mics stuck under them or get in a place of authority, we fear man. We don't want to say what the Word of God says for fear of retaliation. Come on, somebody. We just need to say what the Word of God says. Let the chips fall where they may. We need to lose the fear of man. We're so afraid that we're going to lose something. What have we got that? Peter says, what manner of men should we be seeing that everything will be one day burned up? What have we got that is worth compromising God's Word? And I know we say that, we talk about it because we're in a laboratory here, see? But when we go out into the world and we're seen by our works, Jesus said, let them see your good works and glorify God. Well, what are the good works? We talked about it, loving, helping, all of those things that we need to implement and in a victorious, offensive way, being on the offense, not on the defense. Do not regard position or person. I was one of the most guilty about that. I used to really, admire people that had titles and were in positions. When you've been with God, you're not. I've been with the best, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I talk with Him. Anybody else, just they put their pants on the same way as I do. Come on, someone. I'm not going to be scared of man. I'm not going to fear man. I don't regard their position or regard their personage. I know that God has called me for this hour and this day. I want to be on the offensive. We need to have godly motivation in judging. Making judgments are unavoidable. We've got to call sin, sin, and call righteousness, righteousness. The will of God voids my prejudice and preference. I can't just, because I don't like something, as long as it's not sinful and pointed out in the Word, come on, someone. We have got so many denominations it would make you puke because we disagree with a certain part of the word. Well, we need to be unified. You love Jesus, I love Jesus. We're born again, we're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's work together here. And that's what I love about this community. I've got men and women of God that I'm meeting with almost a weekly basis. I talk with one pastor or leader in the community, and we're all on the same page. God's getting ready to do something terrific because we've went from defense to offense. We're starting to be offensive. We're seeking to do His will. And we need to be content. Listen, content comes with experience. Contentment comes. We're old enough now that we shouldn't soon be shaken by every wind of doctrine that comes along. But we find ourselves the same. We hear somebody and they say, well, things are going to get worse. And, you know, they prophesy something bad. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear victory. Don't tell me, you know, we're drowning and you're telling me the temperature of the water. Come on. It's victory that God has for us. Yeah, the battles will be there. Certainly we're going to fight. The enemy's not going to give up easily, but he's already a defeated foe. Turn to Philippians chapter 4 if you got your Bibles tonight. I've typed it up, so I don't have to turn to my Bible, but it's right there. Philippians 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'll wait till you get there. And this is really the crux of things. Somebody said, I mentioned this to Brandon. I read something on Facebook. It said, if people make you uncomfortable, leave. Just go somewhere else. People make you uncomfortable. I said, man, there's nowhere you can go where people don't make you uncomfortable. If you have the Spirit of God in you, you wouldn't be able to go outside your door. I'm uncomfortable with the way people dress anymore. Go on, somebody. I'd have to leave the planet. Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. This is the season to talk about this. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We are so very good at taking verse 13 and speaking it without verse 10, 11, and 12. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We hear that at conferences, you know. Oh, yeah, buy my tape. I can do all things through Christ. Paul says, I've learned to rejoice in abasing and abounding. I've learned to rejoice when I don't have two nickels to rub together. I've learned to rejoice when I'm fat in money and comfort. Come on, somebody. If we're going to be on the offensive, we need to realize it's something, it's ground that we're taking back that we allowed to be taken by the enemy. The enemy didn't steal it. The enemy didn't overcome us. He can't overcome the body of Christ. The only thing that we can do is yield to Him, and He takes it by default. It's the only way He can win. Come on, somebody. He may look like a Goliath, but there's always going to be a David. Our relationship with God must not be contingent on external circumstances. It can't be based on that, because we've gotten to a place said this morning to someone. The greatest time in all of history, besides when Jesus walked the earth for 3.5 years, was the 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years in the wilderness, nobody got sick. Come on, somebody. Nobody got sick. Nobody got hungry. A But you know what happened during those 40 years? A lot of death. A lot of death. But it had to happen for them to be set to be able to go in and take the land. It's our generation that's lived through a lot of death. A lot of people have left the faith. A lot of people have run away. A lot of people backed away. More people have compromised. There are tons of people that have compromised the Word. The Word doesn't even, they only believe certain parts of it. They throw that out to say, that can't be of God and this is of God. They've redistributed God's wisdom. That's a big no-no. So we're gathering. It's a time for us to get those of us that have survived by the grace of God. We're the ones that's going to take the land now. Come on, somebody. And the enemy has heard about us. When the two spies went in, two people went in to spy out Jericho, what's your name say? We've heard of you guys. We heard about how you defeated them and defeated that, and we're afraid of you. The enemy is scared to death the body of Christ is going to wake up. We must not base our relationship with God on external circumstances. When things are good and everything's flush, God must be on the throne. When we're under attack, oh my God, get me through this, help me some way. Either way, God's still on the throne, and He loves us just as much going through the battle as He does when there is no battle. Christ gives us something different than the world. He gives us His peace. He gives us His peace. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There is no life without dying to ourselves, difficulty and pressure, but the peace is always there. Christ is ever present and empowers us. You know, we need to know how to trust Him even when we are empty. There are some times this past 6 months I said, God, I don't have anything. I go to pray and just cry. I don't have anything to give you. But His grace sustained me. Watch what 2 Corinthians 12 says. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast of my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Wow. So wait a minute. Even when I'm going into battle and being on an offensive, it's all God anyway. It's not in me. You know, I just fasted 10 days and read the whole New Testament, so I'm powerful. No, you were powerful before you started that whole thing because it's not you, it's Christ in you. Conduct in the powerless place determines our conduct in the powerful place. Listen to what I'm saying. Conduct in the powerless place, when we feel like we don't have anything, determines our conduct in the powerful place. Because if we get all that, we're 10-foot tall and bulletproof in the powerful place and boast in our acumen as Christians, we lost the whole thing. It's not about us. It's about Him. His promises prevail in the powerless and the powerful place. Very simple. 1 John 5:10 says, he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of His Son. Circumstances notwithstanding, God never changes, always has the victory. The only thing that changes is our attitude towards that truth. Come on, someone. Are you there? I'm finding my way back to, I stopped exercising for quite a while and I've paid the price because all the pain and stuff I'm going through. And I thought back whenever I was fighting this same thing a few years ago. I had this elliptical, and it was nice. It looked nice, a nice piece of equipment. But You know, it held my underwear and tea towels. You know what I'm saying? Stuff hanging on it. I wasn't using it. Come on, somebody. See, the Word of God has made us who we are, but if we never act, if all we do is talk about it in the laboratory, it'll die on the vine. God does it because God lives in us. It's our attitude towards what He's doing. Complete dependency on God because He's living in us. Resignation is a powerful weapon. We resign to doing things our way and doing it God's way. And I'm determined to see this year, 2020, be the most successful year that I've ever experienced in the body of Christ. Not personally, but in the body of Christ. Because success in the body of Christ is success for me. Yeah, I'm content with what I got. I'm not looking for money or fame or fortune. I'm looking for the church to be strong again. The church to be forced to be reckoned with in our community. Not something that's forgotten and just looks pretty on Sunday morning. Come on, somebody. We need to be free from having to be right or revenge ourselves on our brothers and sisters. We need to all turn towards where the enemy is. Back to David, you know, when he ran out to the giant, he didn't use very many brains. He wasn't a seasoned warrior. How many know he didn't have one defensive thing on him? He's running in a linen half robe, they said, you know, and had a slingshot. How many know this giant could have picked up his sword and went... But when we go on the offensive, God protects us. When we go on the defensive, we protect ourselves. God still protects us. God says, no, I didn't design you for the defense. I designed you for the offense. The defense happened at the cross. The defense happened. Jesus took care of the defense. The accuser comes to us and says, you can't. And so many times we buy it. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. It doesn't matter what I've got, abased or abounding, I'm going to win every time. I've said there's two weapons the enemy uses, to accuse us that we can't and to deceive us that we're already all that in a bucket of Kentucky Fried Chicken. That we're somehow special and above living a life of commitment and servitude towards God, being a son and daughter of His, to live out our lives in victory. The intent of God is for us to walk in love. But we walk in that love is a weapon. How many know love is a weapon? I'm at a place, you can help me pray, I'm at a place where it's so dangerous now that I can give her name, but if you've got a pen and you want to write down her name so you remember, it's Candy Sausman. Candy, Sausman. She's in the last stages of her life in alcoholism. She weighs 85 pounds, and her face is swollen. The liver has gone. She's two steps away from the grave. 55. 6 o'clock in the morning, she's already drank 2 glasses of whiskey, not shots, glasses. By 6 a.m., she's already drunk. I say that and I share that because I realize that we need to go on the offense with her. She's in a life-threatening situation. God has got to intervene. How many know? And she won't listen to reason. She won't hear it. But God. And that's the deceiver has said to her, she can handle it. She can't handle it. So I'm praying for you. I know you're praying for me. I'm praying for you that this year, 2020, we've weathered some things together, you and I. There's some things that I believe for that already happened that have not happened. That does not mean they won't. It does not mean they won't. It's not over till it's over, till God says it's over. And He's very much alive and He's very much functioning in us as we allow Him to. One thing I know about God is He will not usurp our will. We don't want Him to, He won't do it. That's the only thing that holds Him back. Otherwise, He'd be full-blown, full-charge ahead. We hasten the coming of the Lord by our activating of His Spirit. We hasten His coming. I don't know about you, but I'd like to see it all culminate really soon. But I don't want to be so selfish to say, I want to get off this mud ball. It's not because of me. I want His kingdom to come. His will be done. And I realize that that prayer now means that Jesus is just as real now in me as He will be when He comes. You didn't hear me. Jesus is as real now in me and in you as when He comes. His manifest glory when it comes and the city comes, the city of Jerusalem, the holy city comes and establishes itself on earth and His kingdom established on earth. That's for the enemy to see. That's where He'll vanquish all the enemies at the time. But He's just as real now as He ever will be. And I know I make people upset when I say, leave the cross behind. We died in the past. We're a new creation. We're the David that's coming onto the battlefield that's ensued for the last couple hundred years in our nation. And we've got Christians hiding behind rocks. And God is saying, will there be a David come out and say, that's it. We're going to turn this thing around now. I'm not coming back. I'm not going to go think about it. David didn't say, you know, I see this battle. Let me go back and talk to Pop. See what he thinks. Here's your sandwiches. Let me go and I'll come back. He said, today I'll feed you to the beasts of the earth and the birds of the air. I'll feed your carcass, he says. Come on, somebody. It's time now. It's time now before it's not time anymore. It's time now. God's coming back for a victorious church. Somebody said, you know, I'm not being negative. I'm being positive. Because when we go on the offense, victory is ours. Come on. Thank God that we've existed this long. Sometimes by the skin of our teeth. But it hasn't been God's fault. God doesn't get glory from the skin of the teeth. He gets glory from the enemy turning tail and running. David's glory happened when they chased the enemy all the way to the sea. The killing of Goliath was just the thing that started the whole thing. We talk about that. That's a fantastic deal. But the warfare happened after that little tete-a-tete. Amen. And I believe God wants to give us the faith. I know He does. I know He's settled the church. He set us here for victory. Father, I thank You tonight. I thank You for the patience of my brothers and sisters when I pontificate like I do. But Father, I believe I'm speaking Your word. No, I am. And God, I have a passion to see us walk as a victorious, overcoming church in our region. And I speak to the enemy right now. I join with my brothers and sisters. I speak You've got to leave the prisoners of war go. The backslider, the prodigal, must come back to the church. Release them and let them go. I say to the north, give up. The south, hold not back. The east and west, let our people go. Let them go. I speak to the church, awaken, church. Awaken to your glorious days that are ahead. Father, I thank you that you made us to be your workmanship, created in your Son, Christ Jesus, making us sons and daughters that are victorious and overcoming according to your loving kindness and mercy. God, may this be a day like none other as we write this fresh page in history, as we go forth as new wineskins filled with your Holy Spirit. Lord, let us have great victories across this earth, O God. Lord, I thank you for your church that's without spot and without blemish. I thank you, God, that you've designed us for this moment. God, that you're awakening and stirring our hearts. We give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' name.